Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, an indication that matters might be becoming increasingly serious in the Kharkiv region of Ukraine. President Zelensky has just announced a decision to postpone all foreign visits due to the situation in the region. And if we hear any more on that, of course, we'll bring it to you. Now, earlier this week, an inquest determined that a young Dublin mother of six children, Samantha Comiskey, died from toxic shock syndrome linked to a tampon in her body. Now, the coroner, Dr. Claire Keane, said the ability of tampons to cause toxic shock syndrome was a known phenomenon that is more rare than common. But what is it? What is toxic shock syndrome? I'm joined now by Dr. Kiva Hartley, who's a GP with a special interest in women's health. Good morning, Kiva, and thank you for joining us on this.
Good morning, Claire.
This is a really sad case. A young woman with no history of any health condition could die suddenly in this way. But what we wanted to ask you about is this toxic shock syndrome. What is it and why has it become associated with tampons?
So toxic shock syndrome is an inflammatory response. So it affects loads of different parts of our body, different organs, and it happens due to the presence of toxins or chemicals that are produced by certain bacteria. So it's the consequence of a range of different infections from these toxin-secreting bacteria like streptococci and staphylococcus.
And it is extremely rare. We need to say that at the outset.
Yeah, I think that's really important because, you know, people don't need to be overly concerned or you know, scaremongering or being sensational about this. Thankfully, it is something that is incredibly rare, and it's actually more rare now than it used to be, which is a good thing. It affects probably less than one person or less than one case per 100,000 people. So it's a small number. Important to be aware of it, to know what it is, to know what the warning signs are, but not something that I think people need to necessarily be losing sleep over or changing their behaviour about.
Is it fair to say that we maybe heard a lot more about it in years gone by, say 15, 20 years ago, than we do now?
Yeah, some of that would be to do with the link that has happened between toxic shock syndrome and tampon use. So back in the day, there was manufacturers of tampons who made these really super highly absorbent tampons. They seemed to confer a much higher risk of developing toxic shock. Once that was realized in the 80s, this was changed, and the tampons that we have now are probably considerably safer than what used to be on the market.
Okay. And is it something, is it an infection that anyone can be unfortunate enough to experience?
Absolutely. So the tampon relationship, if you like, is only about 50% of cases of toxic shock. So there's lots of other ways that people can develop this. It's associated with things like burns or wounds or any soft tissue injury, or even sometimes post-operative infections. People can go on to develop toxic shock because of that. And then obviously because of tampon use as well. So there's a whole myriad of different reasons why people might develop it. It's not just in menstruating women. It can happen across the board.
Okay, and the cases that you would have seen over your career were related to those other conditions and incidents, not to tampon use.
Yeah, I think I saw a case that would have been more related to something like cellulitis, which is a skin infection. Now, again, that can be caused due to these toxin-secreting bacteria. And then once they enter the bloodstream and release these toxins, your body then has this inflammatory response. And then that knock-on effect can be the shutdown of organs, the drop in blood pressure and shock that can ensue and unfortunately can be fatal in a small percentage.
Okay, so are there symptoms then, less serious symptoms that people could look out for at the beginning of this?
I suppose that's one of the scary things about toxic shock is that it is hard to diagnose in the early stages, and it develops really rapidly. So that's, you know, that's quite scary. Initially, it's really flu-like symptoms that can develop. So things like a runny nose or a high fever in particular, maybe feeling, you know, off, like nausea, vomiting, that kind of thing. But this can develop into a life-threatening illness in just a few hours. People will then develop a rash. There's a rash that's really specific for toxic shock. It's often intense. It's really red, like an intense reddening of the skin, quite widespread. It almost looks like really bad sunburn that then starts to peel. Desquamation is the medical term for it, where the skin starts to sort of break down and peel. People then, their blood pressure will drop, their heart rate goes up, and you might see confusion and collapse.
Okay. And the treatment then, if you get it early enough, which as you've explained, can be difficult, is it antibiotics that are used?
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose you're looking at the person in front of you, and if there's evidence of shock and their blood pressure has dropped, etc., then there'd be sort of aggressive resuscitation measures to bring their blood pressure up and try and support them in that sense. And then certain antibiotics are used for these particular bacteria that cause toxic shock. Thankfully, you know, it has a small percentage mortality. Well, not small, I suppose it depends on the way you look at it, but there's a 10 or 15% mortality rate associated with toxic shock. But the majority of people will survive and do well once they get the right support early.
And just going back to tampons then for a moment, Caoimhe, because I think people heard about this tragic case this week and maybe are concerned now about using tampons. What do you say to women?
So we think the link is that you can have these microscopic little tears or micro abrasions in the vaginal canal tissue. So actually in the vaginal wall, if you like, with the insertion of a tampon. And like I said, the more absorbent tampons, the really high absorbency tampons seem to carry slightly higher risk. So use a tampon that you think is more appropriate for the type of flow or menstruation that you have. And then modern tampons, as I say, carry a lower risk, which is good. Ideally, you should be changing a tampon every 4 to 8 hours.
Caoimhe, thank you very much. That's Dr. Caoimhe Hartley, who's a GP with a specialist interest in women's health. Coming up next, rising prices at the pump. Adam Maguire will explain why the cost of fuel continues to increase.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.